Hello and welcome to Special Issue, Wiley's podcast for societies about all things scholarly publishing. I'm Steffi Nightingale. Change is a natural part of life. That seems to be a given, but how can we adapt to make the most of opportunities that change brings? Right now, in research publishing, we're in a period of particularly substantial change, and as a result, we're seeing that the needs of researchers and members are also changing. So in this episode, we're going to take a look at some of the findings from our most recent society member survey to explore how society member needs are evolving and how societies can ensure that membership remains sustainable in an open future. So let's take a deep dive into this year's member insights, exploring what matters, how needs are evolving, and how societies can sustain and support the future their members seek. In this year's survey, around half of respondents said that they were currently a member. This is an 8% fall from last year, and it marks the lowest level of society membership since we started the survey 9 years ago. And yet, the rate of recommendation, by which I mean whether members would recommend joining a society, remains high. And the Net Promoter Score, which measures the likelihood of recommending joining a society, is 24, which is similar to last year's all-time highest rating of 25. So members are likely to recommend joining a society. And we're also not seeing an exodus of members leaving their societies. In fact, the proportion of members that have left remains stable at 11%, and that's roughly the same figure as the last 6 years. So, what's causing this decline? The findings suggest that this shortfall stems from fewer new members joining, and we're going to dive into some of the reasons for that, and this leads to a member population that leans heavily towards more experienced members. Members look to societies to provide the support, resources, and guidance they need to succeed in their career, particularly during times of change. The publishing landscape will always be evolving, but the biggest change affecting membership in recent years is, unsurprisingly, the advent of open research. There is also increasing emphasis of matters of diversity, equity and inclusion, also known as DE&I, and environmental sustainability. Other factors continue to play a key role in members' decision to renew, such as community connection, access to content, and career support. What's more, career support and research funding are increasingly important drivers of membership. There's nuance, of course, which, depending on factors such as years of experience, region, and whether they are a practitioner or an academic. For example, experienced members tend to renew for the community connection and content, whereas early career researchers renew primarily for the career support. Nevertheless, generally speaking, societies that actively take a lead in open access and diversity, equity and inclusion will boost their perceived value amongst members and enhance their sustainability for an open future. We're going to talk more about open access and open research in a minute, as it's worthwhile spending a bit of time on this topic. We know that producing and consuming research are the main activities of researchers. So it makes sense that support for authoring and access to content are key benefits that these members draw from society membership. And yet, the results of this year's society member survey show that although authorship is on the rise, when it comes to practical and technical support, authors want more from their society. When it comes to authorship, members want two things: practical help and funding support. In our survey, 83% told us that it was important that their society provided support for authoring academic works. And this could take the form of help with providing editing services or creating multimedia content, for example. Getting their research published is important to any type of member across the world, but it's particularly critical for early career researchers. And by this, we mean those that have less than 5 years of experience. Members are most satisfied with how societies provide access to content and connect them to a community. Furthermore, reading the society's publications remains the top member engagement activity. Attending the society's conferences and events and feeling connected to a community are the two most important drivers of membership renewal, while feeling connected to their community is also a top source of member satisfaction. However, the way that members want to connect with others has evolved, and societies must keep up with changing habits to continue to meet their members' needs. Attending a virtual meeting has a marked impact on a member's likelihood to recommend membership, taking that net promoter score, or recommendation rate, up to 52 from the average of 24. Conversely, a lack of networking opportunities is also a reason for not joining. Members seem to enjoy having both online and in-person opportunities to connect. The number of members that said that they've attended an in-person conference in the past year has increased from 32 to 35% this year. But attending virtual conferences also remains strong. Providing career support services remains central to society membership as well. Done well is a major source of satisfaction and recommendation. For example, those who found job application services valuable were the biggest advocates of membership, giving a net promoter score of 80, which compares to the survey average of 24. However, done badly, it can drive members away and discourage members from joining in the first place. Of those who left in the last 12 months, 17% left because of a lack of support for educational improvement, and 14% left because of a lack of career support for career advancement. These occurrences are linked, and both are higher than last year. It's also worth noting here that providing a good career support service is critical for engaging and retaining early career researchers. Again, we're going to talk about the importance of engaging early career researchers in more detail in a bit. I want to take a moment to reflect on the importance of communication. As I said, this is a major driver for membership, but it's an opportunity that societies seem to be missing at the moment. You might offer a wealth of resources and engagement opportunities, but do your members know about them? Have you asked potential members if they want to join your society? It's not just a question of what services and support you offer your community, it's also about how members perceive your society and the value that it brings. By assuming that your members and your potential members know what's on offer, you might be missing opportunities to attract new members and engage current ones. The main reason for not joining a society is simply that they weren't invited. And this has been the top reason for at least the last 3 years. So, communication continues to be a critical gap in society's strategies to engage members. And it's a really worthwhile investment for ensuring that your membership levels can remain sustainable. And last but certainly not least is the growing importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Today, members are generally more satisfied with society's support for diversity, equity, and inclusion than in previous years. That data is especially motivating because 65% indicated that they would be more likely to join a society that took a lead on DE&I issues. And 71% believe it's important that societies make DE&I a central society focus. So it feels safe to conclude then that DE&I is a major driver of membership. And that is, again, especially true amongst early career researchers. That's another topic that we're going to discuss in a bit more detail in a few minutes. Now we're going to move on to talk about open access and open research. Open access is one of the clearest opportunities for societies, both for your journals and for engaging your members. The good news is that satisfaction with society support for open access is on the rise. Members were generally dissatisfied in 2021, with 51% scoring it at 3.45, whereby anything below 3.5 out of 5 should be considered as negative. But this year, members were generally satisfied, with 58% scoring at 3.62. Nevertheless, there is plenty of room for societies to do more for their members in this area. 79% of members want societies to support OA, while a whopping 88% of members are looking for their society to help them benefit from open access. Helping members to publish open access is one of the principal ways you can support them with membership. About half of this year's respondents have already published open access before, at 49%, and that's up from 38% in 2020. Further to that, 70% of respondents say that they're likely to publish open access in future, and again, that is up from 63% last year. So as time goes on, we're expecting more and more researchers to be looking to publish open access, and that includes your members. However, last year we noted that members' awareness of the OA publishing options available to them wasn't as high as we'd have expected. This year, 66% of respondents said that their society provides open access publishing options on some or all of their journals, and that's an increase from last year. Nevertheless, 17% said that they don't know if their society provides OA publishing options. It's a decrease from last year, but it still indicates that there's still some work to be done to communicate what's on offer for members. What's more, that number is much higher in the US, where 32% said that they don't know. Authors also want help with disseminating their research, and 65% told us that they want their research to be understandable to the general public. Publishing open access can help with that, since it helps authors' work to be cited, read, and shared. In fact, a different piece of research undertaken by Wiley reveals that open access articles attract 3.6 times more views than subscription articles and 1.6 times more citations. So the more that you can do to help authors publish open access, the more you're helping their work to get seen and appreciated, and likewise, the more it encourages high visibility and impact for your journal. Interestingly, one of the most striking findings from our survey is the dramatic increase in the number of respondents saying that switching a journal to fully open access would increase the value of their membership. In 2021, this was just 17%. 2022, it was 30%. And in 2023, that increased to 39%. But open access is not the only element of the open future. And the momentum of open data has continued to grow over recent years. 53% of members say that it's becoming more or much more important, and that figure has stayed roughly consistent over the last 3 years, so it's a trend that we can expect to continue as open access gains momentum. Respondents told us that 48% of societies supported open data. That's a 7% increase on last year, which aligns with members' perception that open data is becoming more important. However, 35% of respondents said that they don't know if their society supports open data. And that's a figure which again highlights that societies need to communicate more with their members. And what's more, members are also looking to societies for support with open data. So that includes practical support, such as providing refresher courses on statistical significance and experimental design, as well as guidelines for the increased sharing of data. With regards to other open research practices, as well as help with APC funding and making their work accessible to the general public, members want societies to improve how they measure the impact of their research, including citations and media mentions, and to improve transparency through open research, for example, with open peer review or credit. In the last part of this podcast, we're going to take a more detailed look at member views on diversity, equity, and inclusion. How can you ensure that your society offers a home where diversity can thrive and members can build community in a respectful and supportive environment? That's a big question, and the ability to attract and retain newer researchers alongside existing ones through a strong and well-thought-out diversity, equity, and inclusion position is central to both messaging and continued member engagement. Our findings this year revealed that fewer researchers from the Middle East and Americas are members, compared with other regions. Furthermore, member satisfaction with regional representation is not entirely positive. In fact, Europe and the Americas are actually dissatisfied with it. So it seems that there's room for societies to facilitate truly global connection amongst their member communities. There are regional variations, though, of course. For example, researchers in the Middle East, which constitute 3% of respondents, they tend to have 20 to 30 years of experience. Similarly, Those in the Americas, which constitute 10% of respondents, are also less likely to be early career researchers and more likely to have over 31 years of experience. Interestingly, for both regions, the society they belong to is less likely to have open access journals as well. African members, on the other hand, are more likely to be members, are less experienced, and expect to publish open access in the future. One of the main reasons for declining membership numbers is that early career researchers and students aren't joining. This trend is even starker amongst regions with low representation, such as the Americas and the Middle East, where those that are members tend to be more experienced. So there's a major opportunity not just to attract more early career researchers, but to attract early career researchers from these underrepresented regions. In terms of achieving gender balance, satisfaction for gender representation is generally positive, although the average score has fallen this year. Our survey shows some improvement in gender balance. For example, the current split is 38% female and 58% male, with respondents self-defining their gender. And that's the same as last year. The percentage of women has steadily increased since 2018, when it was 32% female and 66% male. The gender balance amongst ECRs is more equal. This year, it's 46% female and 50% male, compared to 28% female and 69% male amongst those with 31 or more years of experience. This is not a new trend. For the last few years, we have observed that gender representation is more equal amongst early career researchers than it is amongst more experienced members. As these ECRs progressed in their career, so we hope the gender balance would improve for mid-career members and eventually late-career members. However, this hasn't been the case, and gender imbalance has remained a stubborn issue, which raises the question, what happens between the stages of early career and mid-career and then late career to cause the consistent drop in female membership? Why do women appear to be leaving societies at an earlier point in their careers, or perhaps not continuing with their academic careers? Different subject areas will be nuanced, of course, but there are some interesting trends we can observe from the findings of this year's survey. The majority of drivers to renew are the same between men and women. Where there is a difference, women are more motivated by being part of a like-minded community and gaining access to manuals and guidelines and access to training opportunities. These last two may be more to do with the disciplines in which women tend to predominate, rather than any gender-driven reason, however. Men are driven to renew by being in a leadership role and gaining access to the society journal. Women are more likely to leave because of a lack of networking opportunities or because they simply change jobs. Whereas men are three times more likely to leave a society because they've retired. With society membership continuing to fall, recruiting early career researchers and students is more important than ever. This year's survey tells us that society member demographics are heavily skewed towards more experienced researchers. 71% of respondents with 31 or more years of experience are members, compared with 28% of students, which is down from 33% last year, and 32% of ECRs. 57% of students and 51% of ECRs have never been members at all. The data suggests that societies largely cater for the needs of senior members, which revolve around community and content, whereas ECRs primarily join for careers and are persuaded by drivers such as DE&I and environmental sustainability, which are less important to more experienced members. This is concerning not only from a diversity perspective, but also in terms of the future sustainability of societies. If society membership continues to favour an ageing demographic, it will become increasingly difficult to combat dwindling membership levels. As mentioned earlier, communication is critical for engaging members and persuading non-members to join. Reaching out to researchers through the right channels and in the right format is an important element of that. 52% of all respondents said that societies should have a strong social media presence on research-related platforms like ResearchGate and Trellis in order to recruit younger members. And 44% said society should have a large social media presence on traditional platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, and WeChat. Providing information about DE&I combined with a large social media presence is a particularly major driver for ECRs. Half of respondents felt that providing information and support about DE&I via the Society website and social media would be an effective method of recruiting early career members. In terms of practical support, providing tools and content to help ECRs promote themselves and giving them support for achieving certification are key. Career support is also critical. So there we have it. There's so much to unpack from this member survey, but I hope that you found these insights helpful. I think my main takeaways have been that society membership continues to be highly valuable for members. Change is always going to be something that we have to manage in research publishing, but we're in a period of particularly substantial change, and that's going to have an impact on the way that members want to interact with societies and the benefits that they draw from society membership. As always, benefits such as access to like-minded communities and access to content are major drivers for membership, but we're also seeing changes to member needs as well. So for society membership to remain sustainable, societies are going to need to focus on membership growth, and that means identifying trends, evolving benefits, and delivering for current, new, and future members. Through the enablement of openness in every sense of the word, societies can play a crucial role in championing collaboration, diversity, and inclusive communities to further facilitate innovation and discovery. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. For Wiley, I'm Steffi Nightingale, and you can find more episodes and learn when new episodes are released by subscribing in iTunes or wherever you like to listen. You can get more news and information on society publishing from Wiley on Twitter by following us at Wiley in Research and on our website, wiley.com/network/societyleaders. Our theme music was produced by Medine, and this episode was edited by Dennis Velasco. Thanks for listening.